Father, we thank you as we gather today. We thank you for the gift of life. It was your idea to make man a living soul. It was your idea to make man in your own likeness and in your own image. It was your own idea to give man an immortal soul that would spend eternity either with you or elsewhere. It was your idea to send your own son to be formed in the womb of a woman so that he could live a sinless life and then offer himself as a ransom for us, purchasing our souls and our spirits back to you. And so today, Father, we thank you for every human life. We thank you for every opportunity to nurture life. We thank you for every opportunity to minister to these little ones, represented today by our nursery workers. And I remember our Lord Jesus, who said, their angels do always behold my Father's face, and whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it were better for him for a large, enormous millstone to be tied around his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea. We thank you today for the gift of life. And we pray, Lord, today that as your people, we will value life. We will nurture life. We will promote life. We will do everything we can, Lord, in order to see your plan fulfilled in our lives and in the lives of those around us. We pray for our country. We pray for our culture. We pray for the culture of countries worldwide where a mass slaughter is taking place day by day, unseen, in the womb, but very real nonetheless. And so, Father, today we pray, have mercy. And would you today work in many hearts to change people's thinking about this particular issue. And so, Father, today, take your word and may it burn in our hearts anew, Lord, as we consider the wonders of your creation and the wonders of your plans for eternity, of which you have caused and decided that man would be a part. Take your word and use it in us today, we pray. And strengthen our convictions, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. It is no secret what happened on January the 22nd, 1973, when our Supreme Court, in that famous case that is referred to so much, Roe v. Wade, finally made it completely legal for life to be terminated in the womb of a mother. And so this has gone on now for all of these years. It has been 41 years this coming Wednesday. And every year between 1 million and 1.3 million unborn babies are slaughtered in this country every year. And it is not just limited to our country, but it is worldwide. Indeed, 2 weeks ago today, the Israeli Knesset said that beginning next year, they will offer public funding for abortion to any woman who wants it, extending it even to women ages 20 to 33, and those abortions can be had without giving any medical reason. And so we see that worldwide, this thing is gaining steam, as are so many other things. This is not the only issue, of course. We see the move now to rapidly legalize what we call the weed all over this country and in many nations around the world. It's just been announced that the mayor of Houston, Texas, married her female mate in the last day or two, and that is supposed to be a cause of celebration. And so all of the last vestiges of anything that would be called righteousness are quickly crumbling, and the waters are coming in. And so we live in this time, and we've got to decide, are we going to go with the flow? Are we going to agree with the majority? Or are we going to take a stand for what is right? How many remember Noah? How many agreed with Noah? If you had done a poll in his day, you would have found Noah, well, in the minority. And it says that he condemned the world because He was right, and they were wrong. And so it is a time for us as God's people to take a stand for what is right. So today we do have an insert. We're just going to go through a few biblical principles this morning concerning life. Just a reminder to us, we know these things, but I'm calling it the biblical case for life. And I do have references there, and they're not all just from Genesis, many of them are, but just the whole biblical concept of life as God designed it with Adam and Eve. Number one, the life we have comes directly from God, and we are made in His own image. And if you go back, we know these verses well. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And so the life that we have is directly from God. You cannot say that about any animal or any other form of life. All of these were created by God, by His word or whatever. But man was made directly in His image to reflect His image. And that is why we are here. Man's chief purpose on earth is to know, worship, and glorify God. Number two, God breathed His own breath into Adam that he might become a living being. We are provided with a little bit of an additional detail as we get into chapter 2. The Lord God formed the man, or formed Adam, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. This is not said of any other creature or any form of life on earth. And so, when we destroy a human life, we're back to our notes now, we destroy something sacred. And so it is that when Noah comes out of the ark and they're going to repopulate and replenish the earth, and God gives us the same blessing that He had given Adam and Eve at the beginning, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God also says, "And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being." And when we destroy a life in any stage of development, We are destroying something sacred. Number three, God intentionally made humankind male and female for purposes of procreation, so we could have children, so we could have families within the bonds of marriage. God formed Eve from Adam's rib, brought her to him, conducted the wedding ceremony, and it was said at that time, "They shall no longer be two, but they shall be one flesh." And so God designed it this way for companionship and those reasons, but also as the means by which He would populate the earth. This was His plan. Number four, God's first command and blessing to Adam and Eve was, "Be fruitful and increase in number," or in the King James, "multiply." Be fruitful and increase in number. That is God's first blessing on Adam and Eve. Sometimes when I'm counseling an unmarried couple, I'll ask them, "What was the first blessing that God gave to Adam and Eve?" And they sit there and kind of scratch their heads. He said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. And he even said, and fill the earth or replenish the earth. So this is both a blessing and a command. So if it's both a blessing and a command, then that means that it expresses God's perfect will. Many times we say, oh, I just wish I knew the will of God. Well, in many fronts, there are some specific things we have to seek him about and ask him about. But there are many things in his word that he has clearly declared as his will. And when he gives a command and he gives a blessing, that is an expression of his will. And his will is that man would be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So any action that goes against that is basically against his stated purpose. Number five, God is the God of life, not the God of death. Death only entered the picture because of sin. Read Romans 5. Death entered the world through sin. God is the God of life. And even after man sinned, and even after man rebelled, and even after man came under the death sentence, God then sends his son in order to die on the cross, so that he then, his blood that has been offered in sacrifice, would be a payment for man's sin, so that life could be restored to man. And that is what has happened to you and me in salvation. When we accept Jesus Christ, life has been restored to us. And the final expression of that will be when we rise from the grave immortal, even as our Lord Jesus arose from the grave on Easter morning. And God is the God of life. He is not the God of death. Can I hear an amen on that one? It's his very nature. Woo! Hallelujah. Number six, God says that children are an inheritance from him and a reward. Psalm 127:3. And if God says they're a reward, I shouldn't look at them as something disposable. And I shouldn't look at them as an inconvenience. Our forefathers had a lot less than we had. Our forefathers in the 1920s and 30s. How many had parents that were around in the 1920s and 30s? They had a lot less than we have. They had almost nothing. But they had children, and these families were happy, and these families grew up, and their children became productive citizens of this country and helped to build this country and make this country what it is today. Suppose they had said, times are so hard, we just don't think we ought to be bringing any children into the world. Would this country have become what it became? And the answer is no, it would have not. And children are a reward from the Lord, and they're an inheritance. Ah, when we think of inheritance, we think kids get the inheritance. Oh, well, parents have an inheritance too. The children. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Huh? That is a wonderful thing. And it's worth it. It's worth it. Sometimes, you know, we're all human. We get weak, worn out. But it's worth it all. And then when they get grown, and you know, it's wonderful. And they are, and that is the only attitude a Christian should have about it. Number seven, scripturally, barrenness is a byproduct of the curse. Not being able to have children. And in Old and New Testament times, carried a reproach. Remember Jacob and Leah and Rachel, and poor Rachel couldn't have kids. And she finally got pregnant. And Genesis 30:22, then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. In Bible times, it was a disgrace. It was a reproach for a woman not to be able to bear a child. My, how times have changed. Number 8. God is personally interested in each individual from the moment of conception, and is thoroughly aware of the gestational process. My friend, He made the gestational process. God is fully acquainted with every phase of it. I wrote this. The moment of conception is the beginning of human life. Any action taken to hinder or prevent a fertilized egg from coming to term is the deliberate termination of a human life. Since we met a year ago, our FDA made Plan B one step available with no prescription and with no age restriction in this country. Every single incidence of taking that pill does not result in an abortion. But if there is a fertilized egg, that pill does keep the fertilized egg from becoming implanted in the uterus wall of the mother. And it says so on WebMD. It says it very plainly. And that, my friends, is the termination of a human life. How convenient we have made it so that we can say, well, I don't know if the egg was fertilized or not. All I know is I didn't get pregnant. And that's the only thing we're concerned about. And God have mercy on us. But that is where we are. And that is where the world is. And as believers, we need to take a stand for life. Number 9. Every life is precious to God. As His children, every life is to be precious to us as well. And so we can all say, well, you know, what can I do? Well, there are only certain things any of us can do. But if you're the kind that when these types of legislation and thing are out there, and you can write a letter or an email to whoever your representative is, why wouldn't we? We're citizens. We have a voice. In many countries, citizens don't even have a voice. You can say, yeah, but we're just going against the tide. Well, that's what Christians are supposed to do. Isn't that what Christians have done from the earliest times? We go against the tide. Gets us into trouble a lot of times. You say, oh, well, people think I'm this or I'm that. Let them think whatever they want. Do we fear man's opinion? Do we value man's opinion more than God's opinion? If so, then we need to have our hearts checked and our heart attitude before Him. There are organizations out there that full-time they serve unwed mothers. And I thank God for Crisis Pregnancy Center. They're not the only ones, but they're in our area. And God has blessed them with an ultrasound machine now, and it's saving lives every year, because so many times these little girls come in there, and once they see that little baby, it does change something. And so every single one of those, every reversal is a reversal for life. It's somebody that's going to be born that wouldn't have. And not only that, in this process, a certain percent of these young women, and sometimes their husbands or boyfriends, become believers. And so they receive God's gift of eternal life as well. So if you can underwrite some of these ministries financially, Or if you can volunteer, they always need volunteers. Call them. We've got an insert. Why do I use theirs instead of somebody else's? Because they're local. There are a lot of other good places out there that promote life. But thank God again that in this country, we can at least still voice our concerns about these things. If we do not voice our concerns about these things while we can, the day may well come when we will not be allowed to. So let us make the most of the time. So whatever, there are, or somebody you know, and the Lord lays it on your heart to go and lovingly, not in a condemning way, but lovingly speak with them. Whatever the Lord would lead you to do. That's all. Just that. He's not going to hold us responsible for what we can't do. But there are things we can all do. And of course, we can all pray every day. Is that correct? As we pray for, remember the P100? As we pray for our community. By the way, there are a few of those. If you were not here last Sunday, we're starting 100 days of prayer. And there's a thing there to remind you. And on the back, there's a bunch of little circles so you can shade in when you've prayed. But to pray for our community, for our church, and for Cornerstone Christian School. But as you pray for these things, you can also include CPC, which also starts with a C. But yes, to pray. Because prayer does change things. And so, anyway, God is able to work in ways that we don't know. And sometimes the smallest little effort on our part can make a difference. And if anything, any little action we take of even strengthening somebody else's hand, maybe we're not in this thing direct, but somebody else is, and we can strengthen their hand and what they're doing. Any little action that can be taken that'll save a life or two, oh, that's worth more than we could ever say. And each one of these is precious to God. And each one of these is one that God wants with Him for all eternity. Think how much God has loved us to redeem us and save us. And the lengths that He went to save us out of our sinful condition and save us from eternal damnation. What little effort by comparison for us to do whatever we can do to help somebody decide for life. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank You today, and again, thank You. Thank You that many of us were born into homes where we were wanted. And where we had parents, in some cases, that prayed for us before we were ever born. And that's why we're here today. And so, Lord, we pray for those out there today that don't know any better. They've been raised a different way. They don't know. They don't know how valuable a life is to You. They don't know. But, Lord, today we pray. We pray. Just today we pray for Your Holy Spirit to be moving across this land, and that as Christians respond to You, Lord, we will become more active in different areas, and that we won't mind speaking out for You, and that we will find ways to be involved, Lord, in this struggle. And we pray for those that are out there struggling with a decision right now, this very week, and we pray that You will bring people into their lives that can encourage them and guide them in the right direction. Oh, Lord, thank You for loving us. Help us to turn around and extend that love to someone else. We thank You and we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.